Well, I'm Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church, and we've been going through a teaching series in John. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Jesus. Actually, no. About God becoming an option rather than a priority. And the story behind that is there is a man named Peter. And Peter denied Jesus Christ. And Peter was a Christ follower. He was one of the very first people to follow Jesus. And so Peter's denial of Jesus, right after he said, "I would never do that to you. I'm never going to deny you." He ends up doing the very thing he said he would never do. And so the question last week was, when does God become an option and not a priority? And so we had a substantial time in prayer, and I don't know if you guys heard anything from God specifically during that time, but I did, and it was awesome and kind of painful. It was a little bit of an ouch moment in my dealings where God has become an option and not a priority in different areas of my life. And so we're going to continue on with this denial. In fact, I was excited. I flesh out this teaching calendar, and I am in the book of John, and I usually kind of understand what's coming up and what's going on. And then there's sometimes when I get in the teaching calendar and I go and open it for that Sunday, what are we talking about this Sunday? I'm not a guy that can prepare like weeks in advance. I'm just not that good. I'm not that cool, okay? I'm like one of those bottom rung pastors that, you know, if you'll come work for a Snickers bar, we'll have you. And yes, I will. I like Snickers. Yeah. So I'm not that good. So I went and I looked at the teaching calendar, and then there's like two or three verses that we're covering today. And it's literally Peter's second and third denial of Jesus. And that's it. And I open it up and I'm like, are you kidding me, Adam? You didn't lump those in with the first one last week? You're going to cover the second and third? What was your thought when you were going through this? And so I had to wrestle with myself, which was interesting. Anybody seen Fight Club? Yeah, it was much like that. In the office, and then things started to flesh out, and things started to come into my mind. I thought, okay, this is why we did it. This is why we broke it out this way. So bear with me. We're going to read some pretty hefty pieces of Scripture this week, because we have a whole two to three verses. You ready? If you don't have a Bible, like Lauren said, we are a full-service, one-stop-shop church. We've got it all, man. We've got it all. So we've got Bibles out there for you for free if you don't have a Bible. Your phone is an awesome Bible. It's an app. It acts as a Bible, and you can get any Bible version you want, even Japanese. I'm trying to learn right now, so I'm excited about that. So download those, utilize those, read these things, read John. Read through the Gospel of John on your own at home. Don't let this be the first time you ever read these words or hear these words. We want you guys in the Word. We want you guys not starving yourself to death spiritually. Sound good? All right, here we go. We're going to read this massive chunk of Scripture. It's in John 18, and it's 25 through 27. It says this, "Now Simon Peter," this is Peter who we talked about, who denied Jesus just in the few verses before. Jesus is being taken, and he's under the first kind of pre-trial with the Jews, and they are trying to convict him and find him guilty so they can put him to death. So they take him before this council, and Peter is there, and Peter sees him, and this is right after Jesus' prayer over them, and right after Jesus tells Peter, you know, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, I won't. I'd never do that. So we already see Peter denying him first. So it says this, "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself by the coals, by the fire. So they," the people that were around, "said to him, 'You also are not one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose Peter cut their ear off," you remember this in the garden? "A relative of that person," and asks, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" So he has an eyewitness asking him directly, "Yeah, you're one of those guys." And Peter, again, denied it at once. A rooster crowed. Kind of weird, isn't it? That's what Jesus predicted. Jesus told Peter, look, you are so zealous for me, you act like you're so for me, and once I get taken, you're going to deny me, not only once, but you're going to deny me three times before the next day, before this day's up. So that's this rooster crowing, signifying that, hey, yep, it's the next day. So instead of getting really irate with Peter, who is Peter? Do we know who Peter is? Do we know anything about Peter?
Foot in the mouth.
Well, foot in the mouth, Peter, yes. What was Peter's occupation prior to Jesus calling him? Peter was a fisherman, so we can say it's probably safe to assume that he was a salty scoundrel. I've met fishermen. That crazy hairy guy standing next to me during worship, he's a fisherman. He's one of the saltiest scoundrels I've ever met. His name's Craig Johnson. He's my associate. By mine, I mean I own him. By own him, I mean he's employed here at Whitewater. Rabbit trails all over the place. But he was a fisherman. He was this roughneck, blue-collar worker, right? So he was also a follower of John, who's writing this. And you guys remember John the Baptist? If you don't know who John the Baptist is, he was this crazy man whose main goal in life was to foretell Jesus' coming. And so he was baptizing people in water, in a lake, in a river. And he was baptizing people and proclaiming that there is somebody that's coming that you're going to want to pay attention to. And he's talking to Jesus. And so as Peter, who's also known as Simon, that's why they call him Simon Peter, Jesus had a habit of changing people's names once they started hanging out with him. It was kind of like nicknames for him, I guess. So his name became Peter. So Simon Peter was a follower of John, and John is talking about Jesus, and then all of a sudden John sees Jesus. He says, look, there's the guy. There he is. That's the one you need to follow. And so Simon Peter and his brother, they go and they follow Jesus instead of following John. So we know that about Peter. We know he's a salty fisherman. We also know that Peter was married. Peter was married, and I'm guessing some of this is real tenuous within Jesus and Peter's relationship, because at one point, Peter's mother-in-law is sick and dying, and Jesus heals her. You're catching it. Good. Good. You're catching it. I need to find my coffee real quick. So Jesus heals this mother-in-law, so we know he was married. This is a little weird talking and hearing my voice booming as I'm exiting the stage. So we know that Jesus was married, and we know that Peter, not swoo. Let me clear up some more heresy. We know that Peter was married, and we know that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. We also know that Peter, does anybody know the big story about Peter or have heard the story of Peter walking on water? Peter's the only human being outside of Jesus who has walked on water. Jesus is walking on water. The disciples are scared out of their minds. They're in this boat. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, you tell me to come to you, and I'm going to get out of this boat and I'm going to walk to you. So he says, well, come on, man. So Peter gets out, starts walking on water, gets a little skittish because of the waves and everything else that's going on around him, begins to sink. You remember? Have you, anybody heard this story? I keep saying, do you remember this story? And if you know nothing about Jesus or the Bible, you don't remember any of this, right? So pardon me for saying that. That's another thing we know about Peter through Scripture. And also, another thing that we know is Peter was one of the first of his disciples to confess Jesus as God's Son. Jesus is asking this question, who do you say I am? Who does the world say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. So this is big news, and Jesus looks at Peter and says, well, blessed are you, man, because this has been revealed to you by God. This has been revealed to you not by anybody else, but God. And so Peter has the corner on the market on who Jesus is. Peter knows that this is God's Son. Peter knows that this is God's Son in the flesh. And for people to make that connection, that's what Jesus has been trying to get them to do this whole time. We also know that Peter, foot and mouth Peter, he was prideful. He actually rebuked Jesus at one point, and Jesus rebuked him right back. So it says this, from that time, and this is in Matthew 16, 21 through 23, it says this, from this time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, to be killed, and on the third day be raised. So Jesus is telling them the whole plan. And Peter takes him aside. Hey, shh, come here. You're not going to do that. I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus responds with this very harsh, incredible line, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So Peter is kind of this prominent name, this prominent character that we see. We also see that Jesus took Peter and James and Peter's brother and James's brother John, and he took them up to this mountain, and they see this incredible interaction between God and Jesus and Moses. And these are people that are dead. These are people that are living in a kingdom that's not here on earth. And they get to witness this. And they're only three guys of all the disciples and apostles that get to witness this very special thing. And so we know that Peter has a really close working relationship with Jesus. We know that Peter does not really fear speaking up to Jesus. We know that Peter... Yeah. We also know that Peter, when we talk about forgiveness in the Bible, you hear, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? And in the old law, it used to be, what, seven? So then Jesus then says, no. But Peter's the one that asks this question, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive? So very prominent pieces in Scripture that you may or may not have heard of, these stories that you may or may not have seen. Peter's a prominent guy. Peter's a guy that loves Jesus. Peter's a guy that knows that Jesus is God's son. Peter's a guy that has walked on water miraculously because of what God has allowed him to do. Peter is a guy that has seen God and Moses and Jesus conferring together on this mountain. He's one of the few that have seen this. Peter's no slouch. Peter has seen things that a lot of us today, I used to have a boss that said, I can't believe in Jesus. If I could sit across from Jesus over breakfast, if he would come down and have breakfast with me, I would be able to believe because I could see him face to face. This is what Peter had. This is Peter's eating breakfast with this guy. Peter's rebuked this guy. Peter's not allowed Jesus to wash his feet at first. So Peter's no slouch. So we get to this denial, we get to this thing that Jesus had already talked about Peter, you are going to deny me not only once, but three times before the next day comes. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. So we see yet again two more denials. And what I find interesting is that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see similar stories. They're called the Synoptic Gospels, and John is this standalone gospel that has similar stories, but some things are different in the way John talks about them, or John leaves out or omits certain things that other authors bring in. And what I love is in the book of Luke, when they are addressing this particular denial, it says that after the third denial, that wherever Peter was positioned outside, warming himself, he was able to be within vision of Jesus. He was able to see Jesus somehow. And Jesus was able to see him. And it said right when he got really upset and he's kind of calling curses down upon himself by just saying, you know what, I don't know the man. Leave me be. Somehow, within eyesight, Jesus catches Peter's eye. Right at that third denial. And it breaks Peter. It breaks Peter. Peter begins to weep. And I look at this tiny moment in history. I look at this, how fast this probably had to play out within a minute, minute and a half of Peter's life. Hey, aren't you one of Jesus's? Nope. Hey, man, you cut my cousin's ear off and... Nope. Are you sure you're not? I'm not! just as Jesus foretold, just as Jesus said. And we teach, we try to pull application out of this for this morning. Rich basically taught what I was going to teach during communion. I hate when he does that, because I get up and I'm like, I got nothing. I got no material. But here's the thing, you got Peter, who is this salty scoundrel fisherman, who comes in contact with this God in flesh. With God in flesh that comes down and is showing a way to live, a way to live life to the fullest, a way to live life as He created us to live it. And you have this power player who knows exactly who God is. You have this power player who's walked upon a surface that no one else has walked upon, seen things that no one else has seen. And yet sin gets the best of him. This very thing that Jesus said was going to happen got the best of him. This very thing that he was living in fear of, this very thing that he didn't know how to handle, all of a sudden he resorts back to salty fisherman ways. And I love the fact that this Luke's story talks about this catching of Jesus' eye as this happens. And Peter begins to weep. And Peter begins to be broken as he catches Jesus' eye. And how true is that? A lot of times we run unchecked. A lot of times we just do what we do. We sin. We get God wrong in a lot of areas of our lives. And then it just becomes this habit. It just becomes this way of dealing with life. It just becomes this way of who we are until we catch God's eye. What's interesting is my history, my Achilles heel has always been pornography, and for some of you that have been here all 8 years, you know that, and you're like, whatever. For some of you that who just got here, you're like, oh, this sucks, that's gross. But my history has been pornography, and what's been interesting about that is my wife, I was never scared of God, per se, in those moments. I was more scared of what my wife would say if she found out. And if I had to physically look my wife in the eye and see the pain and the hurt and devastation that I've caused, I was more fearful of the woman that I lived with finding out than I was about this God that I was practicing cheap grace over and over and over and over. And so this beautiful moment happens with Peter and it happens with Jesus, and they catch each other's eye right at the third denial, and Peter breaks. All of a sudden, he's confronted with Jesus. All of a sudden, he sees Jesus for who Jesus is. All of a sudden, all these things that he's confessed, all these things that he's done, all these things, these miraculous things that he's been a part of with Jesus, catch up with him, and he's like, oh man, I lost sight of who you were. You are God. You are Jesus. You are God's Son. Man, I forgot. It slipped my mind. And that same moment happens to us, not just when we confess Jesus and we say we know who He is and we sin and we're confronted by that. It happens before we know who Jesus is. And when we meet Jesus for the first time, our eyes meet Him, and it's the same thing. He looks us right in the eyes and he says, son, I love you. I don't love some future version of you. I don't love some holier-than-thou version of you. I love the salty scoundrel that you are. He looks us right in the eyes and says, daughter, I love you. How you are right now in this moment, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I love you here and now. And it's the same look we get from Jesus when we first meet him. It's the same look we get from Jesus when we screw up, and it's that of compassion, it's that of grace, it's that of mercy. And all that stuff floods back into Peter's mind. I don't think it was this crushing, weighing down guilt of, oh, I denied him, or dang it, Jesus was right. I literally think he was confronted with who Jesus was all over again and understood Jesus' mission. All of these things flooded his mind and he understood, oh man, that's who I follow. That's what this is about. And that beautiful thing is available to us now, here and now. This beautiful walk with Jesus, this beautiful life that we get to live with Jesus is available here, now. It doesn't matter where you are today. It doesn't matter if you came here lit up on drugs and alcohol. It doesn't matter, and this is going to be graphic, if you masturbated to porn this morning before you came into our doors. It doesn't matter what you did last night. It doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus came because he loves you. What matters is that because of these two scenes that we see, Peter outside warming his hands by the fire and denying Jesus, and Jesus inside getting the third degree about who he is and what he's about, and he never wavers. He never tries to get out of any of it. He just accepts it. And as we saw, he said, "You go. I've spoken openly this whole time. You go talk to all these people that I've spoke to and you confirm it with them." Jesus never wavers on this. Jesus never once moves. But you see Peter do that. And when they catch eyes, Jesus says, "It doesn't matter, man. I love you. This is what I'm coming for. This is what I'm dying for. This is why I'm here." And as John writes and doesn't make any kind of excuses as to why he writes this gospel, as to why he writes these letters, as to why he writes this story of Jesus, it's that you would know and experience Jesus as John did, as Peter did, as all the rest of the disciples. That you would experience the freedom that they have. That you would experience the grace and the mercy. That you would experience Jesus for who he is. And that's my biggest prayer for everyone in this room this morning. I don't know where you're at. And I don't care. I love you. I had an exchange with a good friend whose dad isn't doing well. And what's interesting is I don't have very many stories of this friend's father being that stellar of a dad. I don't. I don't have any great stories of, I love this guy because he's so good to his family. I love this guy because he's so good to those around him. I don't have those kinds of stories. But what I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that this man is very important to Jesus. And that this man is loved by Jesus. And therefore, that's good enough for me. What I do know is that even if I don't know you, you are very much loved by Jesus. You are important to Jesus. So my prayer is that when you lock eyes with him, that you won't turn away, that you won't be discouraged, that you won't be so ashamed, but that you will understand and know his love for you, his grace for you, his mercy for you. And that just as John wrote, this is for you to believe in him. I pray that you believe in Jesus. I pray that you believe in what Jesus did. I pray that you believe Jesus is God's Son. I pray that you believe that Jesus died for you. Not only died, but conquered death, but rose from the grave and came back and went back to live with God and that he sent his Spirit. This is my prayer, that he sent his Spirit that wants to live within you, that wants to teach you, that wants to help you live as Jesus lived, so that we can bring the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the only way it's done. So don't look away. Lock eyes with Jesus this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for Peter's example. We thank you for Peter kind of being the prime example of who probably all of us are at any given moment. God, thank you for him being real and raw. God, I thank you for his selfishness and his pride that teaches us that corrects us as we see his interactions with you. God, and just as he locked eyes with you standing there after his denial, God, I pray that that happens right now in this room this morning. God, for anybody that doesn't know you, for those that have made excuses, for those that have denied you prior to this, God, your existence and what you've done, God, I pray that they're able to see you for who you are this morning and be met with your intention for them, be met with your heart for them, be met with your love for them. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.